This morning, our devotional comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verses 18 through 23. Then the king went to his palace and passed in the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Are there any announcements before we go to class? Let's go to Sunday school.
Verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, them that shall be heirs of salvation would be those of us that are saved. So what we have here in Hebrews is as I said, the title is Disposition of Angels, and we have here a comparison of the angels versus most of this was speaking of Jesus, but in the end here, where it speaks heirs of salvation, that's speaking of us. And we know that we that are saved are children of God. So in a sense here, we have the children of God and angels being spoken of it in a comparison being made and the place that we have. Now, the world in general, I'm afraid, has a great misconception of angels, and I'm somewhat afraid that some of our own people may not fully understand the position of angels and where they stand. And to be honest with you, I'm not real clear on that myself, but there are a few things that I'm sure of, and I want to try to bring those things out. For one thing, men are above angels. Jesus was above angels. And when I say that, I don't mean that we have power above angels. Angels are very exceedingly powerful, and I'll try to get to that here in just a minute. And angels, they don't die. They don't have a lifespan. When I say that we're above angels, I mean that God has placed us in a position that we are closer to him. We mean a lot to God. We are the apple of his eye, the Bible speaks of. He loved us enough that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. Speaking as a saved person. That's what he did for me. He did not do that for the angels. The angels have, once they are fallen, have no place to turn. They can't be reinstated into fellowship with God. Now, in my study of this, I came to a realization that the word angel in the Bible doesn't always mean the same thing. And we read last week about Revelation, where the angel went to the church, and I said that that was a messenger. So, but for the purpose of our discussion today, when I say angel, I'm referring to spirits that were created, and the spirits were created for two purposes. For one, to honor and glory God and praise His name, but as it relates to us, to watch over us and take care of us and protect us from physical harm. Now, I said at the start here that I was afraid that there was a lot of misconceptions in the world concerning angels, and one of those misconceptions is that people die and they go to heaven and become angels. That's not the case. We, our souls will never be an angel. And part of that may be from the fact that in the Bible, angels are spoken of in Revelations, and it's meant as messengers. But I think the large majority of that is because Satan wants to confuse people. He wants to introduce error into the thoughts of mankind, and he does that by putting angels out of place. So we're told here in this text that I read, where he says, "For unto which of the angels did he say, Thou art my son?" Where did God say, "You're my son," to an angel? He didn't say that. That was the point there, and that was to let us know the place of angels. And I spoke, about the power that angels had. I want to go just for a second to 2 Kings. And let's see. Second Kings chapter 19, verse 35. And it says, "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That would be 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." So it says the angel. That seems to me to be singular. That one angel went and smote 185,000 in a night. Probably, I'm guessing, in a matter of seconds, a matter of just a very short period of time. The reason I bring that out is to point out the power that angels have, the immense power. Now, the Bible in Revelations, and I didn't write this down, speaks of hundreds and tens of thousands of angels. So there's not just one or two, but many, many, many thousands of angels. And when you think about the power of that one times that many angels, that's a lot of power. But these angels are subject to God, except for the fallen angels. And I'll get to that here in just a second. When I talked about the purpose of the angels, and I said that I believe that they were there, they are sent here to be our protectors, to take care of us from physical harm. And Brother Jimmy read about Daniel and him being watched over by the angel in the lion's den, and I think that's a prime example and something we could think about. I still think that goes on today, that the Lord has sent angels to watch over us throughout our days, and that they are there to protect us. Many times we may not know. Now, Daniel knew. He knew when he was in that lion's den that he was being watched over by an angel. I believe because that was something that was supernatural. That was something that wouldn't normally happen. And we can read on about how the king had those that had accused Daniel cast into that lion's den, and the lions had the mastery of them and all their families, and it says their bones were broken. They were killed. The lions ate them up. So they didn't have the protection of that angel. But it says the angel shut the mouth for Daniel. God sent that angel to protect Daniel, to take care of him. And I believe he has angels here to take care of us and protect us as well. But we are never to worship angels. We are never to pray to angels. They watch over us, and it speaks in the Bible of them giving a report to God about us. So we have, and the Bible tells us that God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. So we've got a lot of, we're getting a lot of attention here that we don't maybe think about throughout the week, that God's watching us. He knows what we do. He knows what we think every day. And we also have these angels giving a report. Now, I don't really understand that, why it's necessary for the angels to give a report. And I didn't write that scripture down to be able to refer back to it. I wish I had. But the fact is that they are doing that. Brother Vanderpool here in the commentary that he wrote, he has, and I'm going backward just a little bit, he says, he's paraphrasing here, explains to us in verse 13 by asking a question that I paraphrase: which angel have I commanded to sit at my right hand? The answer is none of them. Again, to help us to understand the place of the angels. Now, he goes on here to speak about this fact motivated Lucifer, an angel, to attempt an overthrow. The fact that Lucifer realized his position in heaven, that he would never be equal with God, that all the power that he had, and I do believe he still has an immense amount of power, and all the glory and the beauty, because I think that Satan was probably an extremely pleasant to look upon angel when he was in heaven. I believe God made him that way. But he was lifted up with pride, and he allowed his own self-will to enter into heaven, and that was his downfall, was his pride. His pride over his power and his ability and his beauty. And it says here, Brother Vanderpool says, this fact motivated Lucifer, an angel, to attempt an overthrow. Lucifer lost the battle, was cast from heaven, and became the enemy of the Holy Trinity, who created him as an angel of ministering service. Lucifer didn't want to be a ministering servant. He wanted to have a power that wasn't rightfully his. He goes on to say, Brother Vanderpool goes on to say, that he is known to man as Satan and the devil. With him, other angels who side with him were extracted from heaven. Therefore, angels exist in both realms of the supernatural world of spirituality. Now, we need to stop and think here. This is something a little bit hard for me to grasp. It's really hard for me to really understand, and I don't think about it very often. But we have these angels watching over us and taking care of us. We also have these angels that sided with Lucifer and were cast out of heaven. And I don't know how much if Satan had a lot more power than they do. I don't know if they look at him as their commander-in-chief and their own. I don't really understand all the hierarchy that there is for those angels. But I believe there are a lot of those. I'm speaking of the fallen angels, the angels that were cast out. I don't know how many there were. But and I don't know how much power Satan has over them. Brother Vanderpool seems to think that he governs them, that he has that he's the chief. That might be true. I just don't know. There's a lot of questions in my mind. But I do know that if they sided with him, if they fought against God, they are instruments of evil, and that they hate mankind, they hate God, and they want to do everything that they can to disrupt our communion with God, disrupt our fellowship, destroy our influence, destroy us if possible. That's what we're faced against, because they have a power. They are strong, and whether the degree of strength amongst angels, I don't know, but I know that they're extremely strong, extremely powerful, and there's a lot of them on both sides. Brother Banacle, here's Satan, says, Satan governs his angels to evil as God governs his angels to good. You and I are the center of attention for both groups, and I believe that's true, because those angels that have fallen from heaven and are in league with Satan, they don't have any power against God. They can't overcome him. They know that. They know they're never going to be able to be back in heaven. And they know what their end destination is, I believe. Because I believe they know what's in the Bible. And the Bible tells us that hell was prepared for Satan and his angels. And I believe that these angels are aware of what's written in the Bible, and they're aware that that refers to them. They know what's going to happen eventually. They know that the only thing that they have that they can do is to influence mankind, to try to cause mankind to stumble and fall and be separated from God. And they're out here every day accomplishing that in any aspect that they can. Now, Brother Vanderpool brought up something here that I'd never thought of until I read this, and I don't know, I don't have an answer, but he said the angels still fall today. I don't know, I'd always just assumed that that war was settled, and that the ones that were going to stay with God stayed there, and the ones that were going to be cast out of heaven had been cast out, and I still kind of believe that, but I'm not 100% sure. I just don't know. So, and I don't know if that really makes any difference. There are enough angels on earth, I believe, watching over us to take care of us, and there are enough angels falling from heaven to devour us if we are unwilling to listen to God, if we're unwilling to follow his leadership and his guidance. If we want to just relax and grow at ease and not stay or keep our vigil, if we want to just kind of blend in with the world and enjoy the things of the world, Satan's angels are there to present things to us and to trip us up. There's enough of them out there. We don't have to be worried about any scarcity of evil in the world. Now, the Bible talks about people in the New Testament being possessed with angels, and the Lord cast out being possessed with demons. And as far as I can tell, demons and angels are the same thing. I'm not sure about that, but from what I read about demons, they're an angel that has taken over and inhabited the body of a person. And here we're getting into some murky detail for me, and I don't fully understand this, but the fact that Jesus himself cast them out into the Gadarean cemetery, into the swine which ran violently down the hill into the water and were drowned, tells me that it's possible for those angels to inhabit people's bodies, and it's possible for Jesus to cast those out into animals, and they affect those animals. Now, I'm not going to get into that too much, because the whole possession thing, there's a couple things. One is, I don't believe it's at all like the way that the television is portrayed. Nothing ever is. And the same thing with the shows, the television shows that portray angels. I believe that's all something that Satan has put out to confuse people. But I also don't want to say that it can't happen, because the Bible speaks about these people being possessed. So what's going on there? What is it? What's happening? As near as I can tell, and again, I know I keep saying this, I could be wrong, but as near as I can tell, I believe that if people are willing to grow lax, willing to disregard what the Bible says, they are willing to allow these things to enter into their mind, and they entertain these thoughts and they just keep on with it, Satan is able to just keep piling on. And it gets to a point where the people lose control of themselves. They lose control of what's going on. And at what point you'd say they were possessed by a demon, I don't know when that happened. I don't have any ideas. But I think that Satan knows people's weaknesses, and he knows what it is that they can be tempted with and brought down with. And he's there with all manner of that things. Him and his angels, his demons, are there out there putting that thing in. And I'm speaking of the world now, the world in general. If people are willing to let that thought, that seed, grow in their mind, and they're willing to disregard what is commonly referred to as right and wrong. And when I say commonly referred to, I don't mean things that we as God's people know are right, because we're taught in the Bible things that are right, things that we're due, and things that we're to abstain from. But also the world in general knows what's right and wrong. They have a sense of that. The world in general believes that murder is wrong, that it's wrong for someone to go out and take someone else's life. The world in general believes that it's wrong to break into somebody's house and steal the things that that person has. That's just kind of a general right and wrong that people have. But if someone is willing to put aside that and to cast aside that and to have doubts, well, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it's right. I believe Satan is there to take up the slack and to feed that. It's a seed that takes root. It's a fire that gets kindled, and I think Satan's there to fuel that fire and to increase it. And I'm talking about people that become mass murderers, you know, and not just that. That's just something that came to my mind. The people that abuse children. I believe that person at some point was willing to entertain a thought and was willing to allow that to continue on to the point that Satan got a hold of them. Now, I don't know. I mean, I don't understand these things that I'm speaking about, but there's some true evil in the world, and there are some things that I don't see how the people got to the point that they are, and I have to think that that's because somehow or another Satan got a hold of them and just used them to do things that any normal person, whether they're saved or lost, would have said, that's evil. That is just pure evil. Now, how does that relate to us, and how does that apply to us that are saved? Because we are a separate people. We are a peculiar people, and we have the Spirit of the Lord guiding us. Well, Satan can take us so far, and he can use us to so much if we're willing to, but God has us in his hand. He's taken care of us. But that doesn't mean that we can allow our minds to go to just wherever it needs to go, or wherever it wants to go, rather. The preacher spoke a couple of weeks ago about that, about having control of your mind, that if these things come into your mind sometimes, well, we need to be careful about those things, because I think that Satan still wants to influence us. The possession part, I don't know. I can't explain that. But I know that if we are willing to allow things to come into our mind, that he'll be there to fuel that fire, just like he will with any other person. And he can destroy our influence. We can read about Lot in the Old Testament, the things that he was faced with. And I think that's because he was willing to look to the things that were appealing to the natural man. He was willing to, Lot knew better than to do the things that he did, I believe. But he kind of quenched that spirit that led him away to spiritual things. He quenched that, and he was willing to be led to natural things that appealed to the eye, that appealed to the carnal man. And we're no different. I see things in the world, and not necessarily evil things, things that just right off the bat, but rather Lot looked to fertile ground, to ground that would grow crops, and that appealed to him. There wasn't anything wrong with that. There wasn't anything wrong with a good piece of land that'll grow a garden. What was wrong was that Lot allowed that to become a priority and to override the spiritual sense of which direction to go. And it was for a lesson to us to know. But once Lot started down that path, I think things just kind of built up and carried on until he was willing to look aside over the sin that he was faced with. And y'all all know the story about that. And y'all know the outcome for Lot's children and how that they were willing to go along with the things and didn't see anything wrong with that. So that's a lot to think about. It's a lot to be concerned with, because mankind is no different today than they were those thousands of years ago. Those Satan, those demons and Satan himself, they're no different today either. And the things that have changed are things that really pretty minor. Electricity, running water. The spiritual things are the same. The spiritual warfare continues on in exactly the same manner. Satan just has a few different tools to tempt people with, to draw them aside in different ways. But the end result is the same. And the goal for those fallen angels is the same, to separate man from God as much as possible. But we still have the same angels, literally the same angels, because I don't believe angels die. I don't believe they are, as far as I can tell, no more new angels are being created. I'm not 100% sure about that. But they were watching over Daniel, and we can read about many other instances where they watched over God's people and protected and helped God's people. Well, they're still here today watching over us and protecting us. But we have a choice. We have a choice whether to listen to the Spirit of God. And I don't say listen to the angels, but rather listen to the Holy Spirit of God that guides us, or whether to allow the things of the world, the temptations of the world, to take root and to begin to grow. We have that choice today, just as they did, just as Lot did and all the other people that fell to the side. And, the Bible speaks of Satan as being an angel of light, something that's pretty, something that's desirable. So much so that if it were possible, he would fool the very elect, that is, God's own people, the saved people. So if it's possible, he can fool us. If it's and by that I believe that means if we let our guard down, if we become a carnal people, we become unknowledgeable about the things of the Bible, then he can fool us, is my understanding of what that means. We have a lot of people that get saved. Well, we think they get saved. We don't really know. And they don't ever come back to church. And I believe that Satan can easily fool those people and leave them off to the side. That's my thoughts today. I hope I didn't confuse anybody. I hope I didn't get anything wrong. You know, that's another reason why everybody needs to study their Bible and be in prayer, because it would be really easy for me to stand up here and teach y'all something that's wrong, because I didn't study my Bible enough, and I don't. I mean, I'll tell you that right now. So y'all ought to be studying to be on guard. We all ought to be. That's everything that I have today. I appreciate y'all being here. Let's remember the prayer request that's been made. All of you. Anybody have any thoughts?
There are two most words that I think explains the angels and the Bible says that they're ministering spirits, and that covers both words, ministering.
I mean, they must have.
Yes.
Because some fall to death.
Right.
every Jew is. But he says, but I understand not for Jews.
I believe they are for Jews. And I don't believe that once they choose the wrong thing, there's any path back to there. Right. Yes.
Looking back. There wasn't very otherwise God is a big portion of this. It's not a great will.
Right. Goodness.
There's any told here. Just a question. A lot of questions that I don't understand.
There's a lot that I don't understand as well. But, you know, just because I don't understand it, I don't think it's, I shouldn't belittle it, and I shouldn't think that, well, there's nothing there. There's a lot there. And there's a lot of things, not only that I don't understand, but they are real things. The angels are real. And they are having their effect and their impact on us and on the world.
Gary, I enjoyed it too, and I had turned to that verse that you quoted about no marvel for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That answers so much about our deceptions and what goes on in the world.
Yes. And it lets us know that we should never try to think we can take on Satan or his angels upon ourselves, because he'll eat us up, he'll devour us and say, there's no doubt about that. We need to be dismissed. It's time for Brother Matter to be in here. Brother Jim, would you dismiss?